Amen, amen. I must confess to you that I had a frightful morning. I think it's so nice to have my messages all ready for Sunday. Man, I make sure they're done Saturday night, because I'll tell you what, there's something always going to go on wrong. Well, I'll tell you, Aunt Mabel went by my house this morning before I was ready. You know about my Aunt Mabel. My dad used to say, if you saw Aunt Mabel going to church, we were late, amen. But anyway, I opened up my iPad this morning, and there was just about, you'd be happy, just about that much. And all the rest of it was just not what it was supposed to be. I don't know how I have a, what they call Evernote. Evernote takes from my computer, throws over to my iPad, any of my computers, it's there. Somehow, it wasn't there. So as Sherry was getting my wife ready, I was working very hard and studious too. So thank God I downloaded it on my laptop, and so I just brought it back. But there are some things that are just not what it should be. But anyway, we'll get through it. For almost 45 years, I've been a preacher. And I've noticed some things that just really are horrific to me, really bother me. I think if there's anything that bothers me more is when a person is unwilling to be forgiven or a person is willing to forgive. I think that's probably the hardest thing in my life. When I was playing high school football, during the awards banquet, and the coach said, you know, one thing about Shear, I've never seen anything like it. He said, he'll knock a guy down about killing, but he'll stop and pick him up and say, hey, good play. I've always been one that cannot hold something in my heart. I don't know if it's as a little baby boy, as my mother taught me very carefully about being forgiving. My mom always said, you're always the first one to say, I'm sorry. Because usually, because I was always doing something wrong, you know. I'm sorry. You know. I'm concerned. I my first church, I pastored in Delvin, Minnesota. Well, I was a youth pastor in Wells, Minnesota, Calvary Baptist Church, where my wife and I were married at. And I worked as a youth pastor there, and I noticed some things. I wasn't the pastor, but I was in the ministry, and so we would talk, and my father-in-law was my seminary teacher, and he literally is my mentor. He was mentoring through, and some things were happening in the church, and he's very concerned about it because of the unforgiveness of some of the members of the church. And I couldn't figure it out. One day they got really obnoxious, and we had a business meeting, and a lady got up and very cross at my father-in-law. And I'll tell you, I lived with my father-in-law. That man was the most godliest man, most wonderful soul winner I ever met in my life. His concern was people. He was a man that was a businessman, left a very, very profitable job and went into the ministry and literally had nothing. Starting churches. And I was amazed that anyone, after what he had done for that church and done for those people, that somebody would even think about saying anything like that. I was just, and I'll be honest with you, after it was over, and he pretty much took care of it. I mean, he pretty much took care of it. I walked out, and I got physically sick. And Mark said, what's wrong? I said, I can't believe anybody talked about a preacher like that. Ouch. It still bothers me today. I took a church in Delvin, Minnesota. I was there 5 years. And it wasn't long, and one of those things reared its ugly head, and I had to do some business. And I was just a 23-year-old young preacher boy. And it really hurt me, because I couldn't understand why a person wouldn't just say, I'm sorry, and get over it and get on with life. I thought that's the way it was supposed to be. I didn't understand what this thing called grudges, and I didn't understand this thing called bitterness and bitter heart. I didn't understand it. By the way, I still can't understand it. I cannot. There are so many things in this life I love to do, and I can't understand why would you want to hold something in your heart like that and cause bitterness and anger for other people. I just can't understand it. And this has been bothering me. And I'm telling you right now, I've been working on this sermon for 45 years. And finally last week, something popped into my mind and some things clicked and clicked. And I thought, you know what? And of course, some of the things I had last night wrote down and cleaned it up a little bit. Now they're gone, but I hope I'll find them all right. First of all, I want to talk to you about forgiveness. If you were seeing Matthew chapter 18, and you read that this morning, Brother Rick had the scripture reading today. You find that in Matthew chapter 18, Peter asks this question. Now, I'm sure that Peter was certainly had a lot of problems going on because the Jews really hated Jesus. Amen? They didn't want nothing to do with him, man. I mean, the priests, the high priests and scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, they just despised Christ. The reason they despised Christ is why? Because he did everything perfect and he never made a mistake. He lived the law as perfect and they weren't, and that upset them. Have you ever noticed that in school? Somebody gets mad at you because you're doing right and they're doing wrong. They get caught, so they get mad at you. Guy at work screws up, does something wrong, and all of a sudden it is your responsibility to correct him, and he gets mad at you. Hey, stupid, I didn't do it. You did it. I don't understand that, you know. You go to school, you get a better grade than everybody else. Everybody else is mad at you because you're the, you know, the goody two-shoes and the whatever. Or you like your teachers, and somebody says something about a teacher, and you say, no, you're good. And there's always people like that in this world. In every generation, there has been an assault on humanity. It all started with Cain and Abel. Their relationship was destroyed because Abel desired to do what God had commanded him to do, but Cain's unwillingness to do right, therefore, caused a bitter battle and killed his brother instead of getting right with God. Explain that to me. God said, hey, Cain, sin lieth at thy door. Am I my brother's keeper? All he had to say is, God, I was really stupid. Forgive me. But no, he has to go out and kill his brother. So, if we find a pattern here, I suspect it'd probably be a good idea. We'd be very careful in our life on how we treat each other. Amen? Amen. Scripture teaches us that we're to love one another. We're to love our husband. We're to love our wife. We're to love our children. We're to love our neighbor. We're even to love our enemy. And when we do love those, and we love our neighbor, and we love our enemies, we literally, the Bible says, we show the difference between the world and Christianity. Jesus said this. This is how they know that you're my disciple. For you love one another. You know, I'm thinking about this. You know, I'm going over this, you know, and I'm trying to be analytical about it. I'm trying to, you know, why is it so hard for us to forgive? I got a good idea. It's called pride. Me? Moi? I'm wrong? What are you talking about? Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I'm wrong more than I'm right. And so are you. And the problem is, we don't want to be upstaged by someone who calls us on it. Instead of, as the scripture says in Proverbs, that a wise man will take instruction. But a fool has nothing to do with instruction. You walk in your house, your wife says, hey, honey, do you mind taking your shoes off? And you get mad. She's been down on her hands and knees cleaning the house with all the little rugrats you've given her. And she's having a hard enough time, let alone you dragging your feet in there, amen. Take your shoes off. Simple as that. All of a sudden, the battle begins. She gets home. Food's not ready. Dinner's not ready. I'm hungry, woman. So am I. But I got these five kids that have been trying to drive me crazy. Got one sick, one dirty pants, one pull all the garbage out of the, another one's over here, and I don't know where the other one is. Haven't seen him for a half hour. And you want me to have food ready for you? Stupid! Now, I know that's what you think. I know that's what you don't say. You like to say, hey, I'll tell you what, let me go do your job today, and you do my job today. Brother, let me go to work, okay? You know, Jesus was never mean. And Jesus was never self-serving. And Jesus was never, listen to me now, he was never unkind. It is unkind for you to not to forgive somebody. It is unkind for you not to say, I'm sorry. My mother's favorite words were this: let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19:14. And my mother lived that. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I want to pour my heart out to you today. I'm sick and tired of people who are unwilling to forgive. And I'm sick and tired of people who are unwilling to say, I'm sorry, I did wrong. What is wrong with us? Jesus said, hey, by this shall man know that you're my disciples if you love one another. That's what God's word said. What are we doing here? How can you get mad at each other? That's why the Bible said, don't let wrath go down to the sun. Okay, some of us get mad. Some of you really get mad. But get over it. Just get over it. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I don't know about you, but I need God to hear me every moment. And if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I allow sin in my heart and my life, God said, I'm not going to listen to you. Why? Same thing he said to Peter. Peter said, Lord, do I have to keep forgiving these people? How about 7 times? And Jesus says, no, 70 times 7. And if you knew the Greek, you'd know that there is a mark, and that means that once you get to 144, you've got to flip and keep going again. I have never had anybody ever mess with me 144 times in one day. Now, some have come close. And Jesus said, hey, forgive them. Then he said, and do it again. And do it again. And do it again. And this is the end. He says, let me tell you a story. There was a man that had a great, great debt towards his master. Millions of dollars. Get it now. Millions of dollars. And the owner comes to him and says, I need my money back. And the man says, hey, will you forgive me, please? And he fell down. The Bible said he worshipped him. And the owner says, okay, I'll forgive you. Right? Then what does that dude do? He goes to this man that he owns, I think it's like $1 or $10, one or the other, and says, you pay me back now. He said, man, have mercy upon him. He said, I ain't going to have mercy. And he sent him to jail, sold his wife and his children. And he said, you ain't going to get out of there until you pay me back the $10. Now, that's pretty queer story, isn't it? Peter said, Lord, how many times should we forgive? 7 times? Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. And then he said, let me tell you a story. There's a man that owed this man over millions of dollars. And he went to him. And he fell on his feet, fell on his knees, and said, please forgive him. And he forgave him. Then he said, he turned around, and he got his guy that owned him and said, give me my $10 back. He said, man, I can't have mercy with you. No way, I ain't going to send him to jail. Now, what was the story about? Think now. Think. Put your hand down. Put your thinking cap on. What was the story about? The story is about God forgiving me of all my sins and all the debauchery and all the filth that I ever did in my life, and he's forgiven me. And I said, dear God, forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart and save me. And God, what did God do? He did it. Then my friend comes to me and he screws up. And I said, you're going to jail. And God said, I'm going to tell you something. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you if ye from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Now listen to me. You listen to me very carefully. Some of you rascals have been griping and complaining about your husband or your wife or your kids or your parents. You don't like what they did, and boy, you're getting mad, and you'll never forgive them. You won't even talk to your sister anymore. You won't even talk to your brother. I talked to family the other day. They said, oh, we don't talk anymore. And I'm going like, God says, let me, buddy, if you don't forgive them, I'm not going to forgive you of all your sins. The millions of times you've cheated against God. And at one time, it kind of puts it in perspective, doesn't it? I could just give an invitation right now, and probably most of us come to the altar. Say, God, forgive me of the way I felt towards others. But I'm not going to leave you off that much, because I've still got a few minutes to preach at you. John 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Yes. People will look at you the way you treat your brother and treat your sister in school. You know, I wonder what people thought when my sister used to be so mean to me. Well, that's an opportunity to win somebody to Jesus Christ, amen? I wonder what people must have thought when I was playing football and this kid did something bad to me, and so I'm trying to kill him during practice. I mean, literally, I want to rip his head off and spit down his throat. I'm mad at him. He promised to do something. He didn't do it. He laughed at me and poked fun at me. Oh, boy. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciple, if you have love to one another. That is, your love for each other shall be so decisive, so evident, that you are like your Savior. That all men shall see and know it. It shall be the thing by which shall be known among all men. People say, you know, there's just something about that guy. That guy cheated him wrong. That guy cheated him. That guy stole from him. That. But he still does not take it out on him. He just trusts God. There's something different about that person. What's the old saying? Screw me once, shame on you. Screw me twice, shame on me. 70 times 7, dude. You say, but it's not fair. I haven't found life fair yet. We live on the corner of trouble and sorrow. It's not fair that somebody has to die. It's not fair that somebody had to be in a car wreck. Didn't somebody fair that they lost their baby? It's not very fair that somebody lost their finances because somebody stole it or misrepresented them. Or something. It's not fair. No, it's not fair. Life is full of unfairness. But I'm going to tell you something. You listen to me. There's one who is fair. And by the way, he's the one that's keeping record of all. One man said, you know, I'd like to kill him, but boy, killing that man Do you know a man has a lot of blood? And it'd be a mess. I'm just going to do as kind as I can. I'm going to do what the Bible says. I'm going to heap coal of fire on his head. I'm going to love him whether he loves me or not. I'm going to do everything that I can to, and let God kill him. Amen. Because he sure does a lot better job. And I don't have to go to jail for it. You listen to me. You treat me bad, I ain't going to get back at you. That's God's job. I've seen people after people after people go after certain people. And I've seen what God does to them. I don't want no part of that, brother. I want to be right with God. I want to be on his side. Christ said, "You shall not be known by particular rites or habits or particular form of dress or manner of speech or particular austerities and unusual customs like the Pharisees and the sins and the scribes, but by a deep, genuine, tender affection, by a deep, genuine, and tender affection, it will be well known that is what so eminently distinguished the first Christians was the subject of remarks by the surrounding pagans who said, 'See,' said the heathen, 'see how they love one another and they're ready to lay down their lives for each other. Look at that.'" Well, we wouldn't do that. Perhaps all the commands of Christ, all the commands of Christ are observed in John 13:35. "By this shall all men know that we are, that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another." I pastored a church, First Baptist Church out in South Dakota. For her first 5 years, I preached on love. I have never seen anything like it in my life. How that anybody could be so mean and dastardly and so caustic as some of those people in that church. Now, get me right. Don't get me wrong here. There's some wonderful people in that church. But I'm going to tell you something. There is a hornet's nest in that church that needs to be destroyed. Mean. Controversy constantly. And for 5 years, I wasted my time, and instead of perfecting the saints, I was constantly talking about how we need to love one another. How in the world can I go, and I was an EMS and I'm a firefighter, how can I go into my community? I heard more things are going into my church out in the community than I heard in my own church. "Hey, preacher, I hear you got a pretty good fuss going on in your church." Oh boy, that's good. By the way, let me tell you about how much Jesus loves you. Let me tell you that God will forgive your sins and come into your heart. "Hey, let me tell you this." And they said, "Man, I don't want no part of your church." How'd you like that? "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you love one another." This should be apparent to the world. We should be transparent to the world. It seems as though that this generation has lost its want for deep felt genuine love towards one another. It has lost the genuine self-denial because of the pride in the ranks and wealth, and the fact that professed Christians are often known by anything else than the loving each other. There's something wrong with that. "I'm not going to that church anymore." "Why?" "Well, I just don't love that person." Well, you could change that, stupid. You could say, "Hey, I want you to know that I'm sorry what I said." And then the person you say that I'm sorry with says, "You know what? I don't care what you said, I still love you. Because I want all men to know that I'm his disciple." True Christian love should be found equally among the prince and the slave, in the mansion of wealth and the cottage of poverty, on the throne or the shack of want. True Christianity are to overlook the distinction of color, of nations, and whether he finds a man who bears the name and manifests the Christian spirit, he is to love him. And more, as you see the days approaching, for the second coming of Jesus Christ draws near, this will be a particular badge of the professed Christian, the child of God. First John 2, verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. 1 John 3:10. And this, the children of God, are manifest. The word manifest always means shows off. That the children of life, whosoever doeth not righteousness, is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Wow, powerful. For this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was that wicked one that slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. He got mad because he was wrong. How many times that happened in your home? Little Susie does this and brother does not. And Susie, and after it's all over, brother gets mad at Susie because Susie did right and he did wrong. You ever wonder about that? Why are you mad at me because I did right and you did wrong? That's a good question, isn't it? Why are you mad at me? Why do you hate me? Paul the Apostle said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? First John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. So, what are you telling me here, John? John, you're saying that because if I don't love the brethren and I'm caustic or I'm mean or I'm vindictive, that means that I haven't passed from death unto life? Hey, you choose, buddy. I'm just saying what the Bible says. The Bible says we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And he that loveth the brethren, he that loveth not the brother, abideth in death. You listen to me. Hey, you listen to me. Hey, listen to me. When you get mad at somebody, and you're unwilling to forgive them, and you're unwilling to get back on track, God says, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You ought to question your salvation. Am I perfecting the saints this morning? I don't understand how a family can get all fussed up. I know we have bad days. I know that some things don't always go the same, but still, by the end of the day, things should be taken care of. Because you ought to have a little time to think of it and say, wait a minute, I'm not going that way. Honey, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I don't care if you even say, well, you know, honey, I'm having a bad day and I got a headache and this. And I don't care if you use some of the excuse. Use the excuse, but get straight, amen? Say, hey, you know what? Life is too short. I don't want to go down the pathway of life with having all these barbs and all these sinkholes and all the junk. Boy, when they lay me in front of this church in a coffin, I want them to say, you know what? One thing about old Brother Shear, he loved me. I don't want people to think, I don't love him. I talked to a family this week and they're fussed up about something. And I said to them, I said, they told me, well, I know people don't like us. I said, where'd you hear that from? Well, we just know. I said, did anybody tell you? No. But I said, how do you know that? I said, you know, I'm pastor of the church. I said, I've never heard anybody say anything bad about that, about you. Well, we just know. I want to call him a liar. But I was nice. I said, no. I said, if you want to do something, you can do it. I said, nobody holding you against anything. But I said, I want you to know that you're loved. We love you. And we want the best for you. But Satan, some way, somehow, gets in your dirty little old mind and puts this seed of hatred and puts this little seed of doubt in your mind. And yeah, everybody's talking about me. I wanted to say, you know what? You're pretty proud. People don't think about you. I wanted to say it, but it didn't. Boy, you're really stuck on yourself, thinking people thinking about you all the time. You know, they don't think about you. Mm-hmm. They got other things to do, like pay their own bills and make sure their kids get to church and make sure their kids get their food and make sure their kids get to school and make sure that the husband is taking care of the husband. They don't take time thinking about you, stupid. But I didn't say that. Ask me if I thought it. Wouldn't have done any good. I'm afraid that we have passed from life unto death when we're unwilling to forgive. Now, I want people to know I'm a Christian. And how can they know that I'm a Christian? Jesus said it. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples because you love the brother. It's hard. There are some people just hard to love. Have you ever met any like that? Just some people just hard to love. Oh my goodness. You know, they just, you know, you want to get, you know. Hey, hello there! Then there's others that come up and hug your leg, and boy, they just can't get enough of you. Man, there is love. Did you know what Jesus said? You love them all. By this, shall all men know that you are mine to supper because you love the brethren. I've seen people come out of churches madder than a wet hand. Whatever that means. My mama just said, man, she's mad as a wet hen. I don't know what that meant, but whatever mama said, that was go. Amen. Mad. Go out of church mad. I think you're defeating the purpose of doing what Jesus said. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you love the brethren. So when you leave mad, guess what you're saying? My father is Satan. My father is not the lovely Rosa Sharon Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we're saying? Isn't that what we're saying? So the next time you get fired up, pull the fire extinguisher out. The fire extinguisher is what Jesus said. By this shall all men know that you're my disciple. You love the brother. If you'll come back tonight, I've got some fantastic scriptures to give you. This is only my introduction. I want to perfect you. I don't want you to have a bad heart. I don't understand. I don't understand it. Life is too short. And usually the problem is it's us, it's not them. The problem was not Abel. The problem was Cain. Cain had a problem. Cain went against what God told him to do. And so he got mad. He got mad at the guy that did right. Don't get mad at the guy that does right. Don't shoot the messenger. Do what God says. Hey, I want to, I love the scripture here. If a man say, I love God, this is found in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? Next verse, verse 21. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, loveth his brother also. By this shall all men know. Christ again confirms what he had formerly said, that they who mutually love one another have not been in vain, taught in the school of life. And he said, not only will we know that we are his disciples, but by your profession, we'll also acknowledge by your sincerity to your brother and sister. You don't love your brother and sister? God said, I got a problem with you. If I ask you to forgive me, I expect to be forgiven. If you ask